Send us your questions to EnglishRadio at irib.ir.
Praise to Allah,
all glory is to Allah.
We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
But there is a Shiite interpretation and commentary. We can say, for example, on this surah in general. That is, for example, Asr and the loss, referring to the uprising of Imam Asr, Imam Mahdi, okay? That, for example, this Asr is referring to Qiyam Imam. And, for example, if the people who do not understand it, they are always in loss, or they do not understand the presence of the Imam, they are in loss. Is it true?
Yeah, so if you remember that when we started translating the word Asr.
Yes.
Well, Asr.
Yes.
So every meaning that you take from it, the upcoming verse, is in relation to that. So when we say the Asr over here can also be translated as the Asr of the time of the advent of Imam, then the following verse also denotes to that connection. But if we talk about this as a general Asr time or the end of time, for example, then the following verse also denotes to the same thing. But, and we have seen that any translation that you give to us is not zid against
opposite.
Each other. Yeah, they are actually, you can do the jam of it. You can gather all of them to come to a conclusion that this us is talking about the end of time. In details, now you can come to say that the end of time means maybe the advent of Imam al-Asr, Imam Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman,
yes.
And others. So when we are back to that marketplace where we are talking about khasara.
Yes.
Now we want to know about those people who gain. Because we have seen now, the second verse doesn't talk about the whole of humanity. How do I know that? Or how do we know that it doesn't talk about the whole humanity? We come to the following verse.
Okay.
That says, save those who believe and do good and enjoin on each other truth and enjoy on each other patience. Mm. So when you want to see what is khasara on the other way, if you want to see according to the Quranic translation, what is khasara? Khasara is opposite of the third verse. So you can say, those who do not believe and do not do good, if you want to go to
so there are some benefits and some damages.
Yeah. So the khasara is not for all the mankind.
Uh-huh.
It's for everyone except these people who believe and do good and enjoy on each other the truth and each other on patience. So these kind of people are away from those who are in khasara.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all right. There is a beautiful story by Fakhr al-Razi regarding this ayah. Have you heard it?
No, but please.
Okay. He says that we know that Fakhr al-Razi was one of the most outstanding Aziz of the Holy Quran. He says, I thought a lot about the tafsir of this ayah, so I couldn't understand it. I couldn't get the true picture. So I said, let's put it aside and then get back to it. So one day I was walking in the market. It was a hot summer, and there was a man selling ice.
Yeah.
The man was shouting out and was crying out, "Oh, people, buy my ice, because it has been melting away," okay?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I said that all the income of this person is the ice, which is melting away. So look how our life is being melted away like the ice.
Yeah.
So we have to make the most of it. Spiritually speaking.
Yeah, so what you said right now is the same thing that I said before.
Yes, yes.
If you remember,
yes.
I quoted this, have pity on him whose capital is melting.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it actually talks about the same story that you just mentioned,
which
is true. So actually, Fakhr al-Razi understood the verse of Inna al-insana lafi khusr from seeing this man and his ice that is melting.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Imam Ali alayhi salam also says that the night and the days of your life are like the edges of a scissor which cut away the roots of your life tree.
Mm.
So that now your income is lost away, is getting away. So it's better to trade with the main owner of the world, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay?
Yeah.
So if, for example, you trade with Allah, of course, not trade in the terms of business world, but trade spiritually speaking. I mean, if you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will answer all your needs, and you will have a nice saving for the other world too, without losing anything. So take care not to lose your life for cheap things.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Thank you much, Brother Suhail. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
You talked about the meaning of Khosr, Khosran, and Lafi Khosr. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer the questions you have regarding the upbringing of your children. And the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have with us Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, we have been talking about the management of emotions, which is one of the important factors to be responsible in life. And you gave us some also very beautiful tips. And what you wanted to explain in the last episode was then being thankful. So how important is it to be thankful?
Yes, a lot of times we need to remember that we have to appreciate what we have been given, what we have, whether the giver is Allah Almighty, the bounties He has given to us. We need to control our emotions. We need to control them by being thankful for what we have. If we always want to reach out to things which we would desire and forget what we have and stop being thankful, then we will always be in a state of stress and in depression because of things that we don't have. We should accept what we have and be thankful for to Allah Almighty for that.
Yeah.
And if someone carries out something good to us, or for anybody else, carries out, we need to thank him, appreciate him. So the more we look out to others, we forget ourselves.
Yeah,
we tend to
exactly because we start comparing.
Yes,
and especially
need to forget
children
ourselves.
Do that a lot.
Yes, so our children should be made to realize and understand that. Look, if you want to compare yourself, then in matters of material benefits and gains, look down upon those who are lesser than you in material, in the material sense.
Yeah, Professor, don't you think sometimes it's the parents themselves who inculcate this wrong thing into the minds of their children, like what they don't have, they should be striving to achieve it, like they start comparing. That's what we have a lot of students, a lot of actually children have been complaining to us in the messages that we get received that can you have some episodes on the topic like why do parents compare us with their relatives, with the neighbors and with others, degrading the skills that we have. So do you think sometimes this comparison of parents makes them less thankful in life?
Yes, if the parents are thankful for what they have and what they can and what God has given them, then they would also be looking for the same thing in their own children. Sometimes they also make mixed. They're looking at mirages outside which are not there. The parents, if they're not properly able to differentiate between what is truth and what is the falsehood, then they will also be in a situation where they will be demanding their children to do the same thing. So you need to teach the children, the parents should be should realize this, that they need to be objective. They need to be to understand what the situation is, what a child can achieve, what are his competencies, what are the skills he has, and then demand from him accordingly. Either they should develop those skills and educate them and increase their capabilities, or thank Allah Almighty for what He has given them. The children should be thankful. Their parents should be thankful. Thanking does not mean that we should not strive for better goals. We should not strive for higher things. But when it comes to material things, we should look down upon others who are less fortunate.
Yeah.
They should be compared.
Right.
With them, we should compare ourselves.
Yeah. We should be talking more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
Ya muqdiy al-khayrat, ya muqdiy al-khayrat.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, encourage your sons in their childhood to learn etiquette, so that in their grown-up age, they can be the joy of your eyes.
Well, Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Salman Akawi with us. Well, every hour is a grace, and we should feel gratitude in our hearts that every time we are blessed with a blessing and we are able to make a smile on someone's face, we should be thankful for each and every small thing that's happening around, rather than actually making complaints. And we make complaints when we compare things. And that's what children learn from the attitude of their parents. If we are teaching our children to be thankful verbally and we are not thankful practically in our lives, that's not going to make much effect on them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Saf verse 2, "Oh, the ones who have had faith, teach only that to others what you practice yourself." So Professor Salman Akawi is helping us with many tips how to make our children responsible, and being thankful is one of the very important things that we had been discussing so far. Yes, Professor.
So yes, thanking, being patient, being thankful, and they're not just verbal things. They need to be coming down from within, from the depths of our hearts and from our souls, that we really realize and understand that we have been given so much by Allah Almighty. And yes, we have to build upon that. Thanking is not just being content with what we have. It's not that we do not strive out for more. We should be content with what we are, but we should not be lazy and not reach out for more. And we say, oh, that we have enough, we need. But in spiritual terms, not in material terms, we need to reach out towards Allah Almighty. Yes, even if material gains are going to help us and assist us in achieving noble spiritual goals, why not? Because everything which is material, if it is used in the proper sense, it will help us and elevate us spiritually. Yes, if we have more money, then we can spend more money, and we can spend it for more good things. We can help more people. We can assist people in their lives. We can educate many people. We can help them to achieve elevated goals of spirituality in their lives. So having material gains is not good. It's not bad. But if it is for the sake of achieving spiritual goals, and we should be content in the sense that we are better off than others, but we should not be content in the sense that we can reach out for more higher levels of perfection and spirituality. So patience and thankfulness go hand in hand in such a situation, which helps us and our children to manage their feelings and emotions, and to not be angry, not be stressed out, not feeling deceitful or whatever. So we need to manage our feelings, and we need to help our children to manage their feelings. That is very important for their growth and development good human beings.
All right. Just to be responsible, being able to manage the feelings is also an important thing that parents have to be working on with their children. That's an important tip, and we would definitely love to know more from you. But let's take a short break, and we'll be back in no time.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Akawi, and we are discussing about the tips how to make your adolescence responsible, and Professor is helping us with a lot of beautiful stuff. Yes, Professor.
Yes, so we were saying that to become responsible citizens, to become responsible adults, you become responsible family members. We need to have goals in life, in different aspects of our lives. We need to be able to manage our emotions. We need to develop skills to be able to carry out those goals.
Yeah.
So if we are not able to, we don't have the competency to carry out, to achieve our goals and carry out those actions which are important, then how can we achieve those goals? And if we're not achieving our goals, we remain stressed up.
Somewhere in the bottom line.
We feel stressed, we feel depressed. So it also helps in managing our feelings. We need to manage our feelings, we need to manage our emotions, but we start from within and we have to move out and practically be able to achieve our goals and find success in life. And the more we become successful, the more happy we are, the more pleased we are with our Lord Allah Almighty, and we thank Him for helping us and assisting us to achieve those goals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, contentment in the sense that we mean being content in life depends upon success in life in the spiritual sense.
In one of the very beautiful du'as that Prophet peace be upon has taught us, which are quoted from Ibn Abbas in the Ramadan daily prayers, one of the du'as says that contentment is the spiritual hijab, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to beautify us with that hijab of contentment. So contentment is actually one of the things that beautifies our spirit, that beautifies us spiritually, and that's what we can teach our children, that not only physical hijab is very important, but also the spiritual hijab makes you look more beautiful. That is contentment. Yes.
So then we need to, we're talking about tips to make people, our children, responsible adults in the future. They need to be able to manage different situations also, especially emergency situations. They need to be able to have confidence and be able to rely upon their own faculties and resources to be able to manage a difficult situation. For example, at home, if the child is alone at home, God forgive, there's a breakout of a fire, then he should know how to react to
that. How to manage things, how to control things.
Yes. And again, it starts with this, that if he has seen one of his parents manage that situation in a very...
How they behave in a difficult situation, how they face that trouble. So child will be behaving that way. So you're saying that sometimes it's not just verbal things that help. It's also your actions that teach a lot to your children.
Yes, exactly, because... You need to be able to, a child in the future, when he becomes an adult, he shall be facing new situations all the time. He will be facing calamities. He will be facing difficult situations where he needs to react and keep his temper, keep his cool. And he should be able to manage things with a very, with a temperament which is controlled, and one does not lose his senses in the face of a difficult situation. So if, for example, there's a fire and he sees his parents manage all these things with a very cool mind, then he will learn how to do that.
Exactly. So thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. And to all the teenagers out there listening to us, don't be a slave to your emotions. Control them. Do not let your emotions distract you from doing what needs to be done. Control your emotions, else your emotions will control you. Thank you so much for hearing. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
In the limelight.
According to economists, one of the most thorny points of disagreement in the negotiations between the Republican representatives and the White House over a debt ceiling is the main demand of the Republicans, the issue of setting the spending ceiling. But the Democrats say this issue is their red line. The two sides have little time to reach an agreement to raise the federal government's $31.4 trillion debt limit. We take a look at some of the world media and press's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The negotiations over the U.S. debt ceiling crisis continue to remain at impasse as President Joe Biden's administration and House of Representatives Speaker Kevin McCarthy have exchanged barbs over the issue, with both sides calling the other's proposals too extreme. When talks stalled recently, President Biden and Kevin McCarthy agreed to empower staff members for a deal while the president was in the Group of Seven G7 meeting in Japan. But officials did not meet on Saturday, 20th of May, saying they were not sure when fresh talks would take place. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre noted in a statement that President Biden and Kevin McCarthy had agreed that any budget agreement would need to be bipartisan, and accused Republicans of offering proposals too far to the right to pass Congress. Republicans hold a slim majority in the House of Representatives, and President Biden's fellow Democrats have a narrow control over the Senate, so no deal can pass without bipartisan support. According to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, there is a growing concern that the agreement won't come before the 1st of June deadline, when the federal government could be unable to pay all of its debts. A possible default would likely sink the United States into a recession and rattle the global economy. While it falls to Congress to adjust the government's spending limits, Republicans in the House of Representatives have used their majority as a leverage to demand spending cuts to social programs in exchange for a debt ceiling increase. U.S. stocks, treasury yields, and the dollar all moved lower on Friday, 19th of May, following the pause and after comments from the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell on monetary policy saying it was still unclear if interest rates would be hiked further or not. President Biden's communications director, Ben LaBolt, said, "Republicans are taking the economy hostage and pushing us to the brink of a default, which could cost millions of jobs in the United States and tip the country into a recession." On Saturday, 20th of May, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, told reporters at the Capitol that he did not think talks could move forward until President Biden was back in the country from the G7 meeting in Japan. McCarthy charged Democrats with taking a position that was too extreme. He wrote on Twitter, "The White House is moving backwards in the negotiations." In a separate post, he blamed President Biden for the impasse, claiming that the president did not think there is a single dollar of savings to be found in the federal government's budget, adding that the socialist wing of the Democratic Party appeared to be in control. Kevin McCarthy's Republican-led House last month passed legislation that would cut a wide swathe of government spending by 8% next year. Democrats say that would force average cuts of at least 22% on programs like education and law enforcement, a figure top Republicans have not disputed. The latest White House offer would hold both military spending and other spendings, which includes education, scientific research, environmental protection, and much more, constant until the next fiscal year. Republicans have proposed a nominal decline in total discretionary spending next year, but not evenly distributed. In their plan, military spending would continue to rise. The federal government reached its $31.4 trillion debt ceiling set by law months ago. The Treasury Department has warned that unless Congress and the President come to an agreement, it could run out of options to avoid a debt default. Agence France-Presse has also covered the same story. Debt ceiling talks between the White House and the Republican opposition appeared at an impasse, with both sides trading accusations as time runs out to avoid a potentially catastrophic U.S. debt default. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre said in a statement on Saturday, 20th of May, a Republican offer made late on Friday night was a big step back and contained a set of extreme partisan demands that could never pass both houses of Congress. Referring to the far right of the Republican Party, Karine Jean-Pierre said, "It is only a Republican leadership beholden to its MAGA wing, not the President or Democratic leadership, who are threatening to put our nation into default for the first time in our history unless extreme partisan demands are met." The Biden White House, determined not to let Republicans blame Democrats for the situation in the eyes of the public, even sent a memo to newsrooms detailing the proposals. With the Treasury Department warning that the U.S. government could run out of money as early as 1st of June, triggering massive economic disruption in the world's biggest economy and likely around the globe, the political battlefield in Washington has seesawed without any clear sign of a resolution. Republicans who control the House of Representatives are demanding steep budget cuts as a price for allowing an extension of the government's borrowing authority. The White House is seeking to whittle down these demands while arguing that traditionally uncontroversial annual debt ceiling increase is being weaponized for political gain. Hopes for a settlement took a blow on Friday, 19th of May, when Republicans walked out of negotiations declaring a pause. However, the talks restarted just hours later, leading to Karine Jean-Pierre saying, "We are indeed optimistic." President Biden, who has expressed a willingness to be patient and said he was not worried, left Japan for Washington on Sunday, 21st of May, cutting short a trip that had been set to take him to Papua New Guinea and Australia next week. More borrowing is required by the U.S. government just to meet expenditures already made, meaning failure to strike a deal to lift the debt ceiling would leave Washington unable to pay its debt obligations, triggering an array of economic shockwaves. White House spokesperson Andrew Bates, late on Saturday, 20th of May, tweeted, "We're making demands to avoid a default. You're the only ones with a hostage." Andrew Bates accused Republicans of seeking to trigger a recession.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, adornment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about adornment in the Islamic lifestyle.
It is important that we give importance to the adornment or titivation in our life. And the reason is that it is in the human nature that Allah has put this in our nature that we need to give importance to ourselves, to our appearance. And that's why we see that in the societies even, we love the clean places. Why in today's world we see that in our country, in our city, we see these big bin baskets, for example, or, you know, there are the big dustbins. There are different colors of bins. For example, one is for the glass, one is for the paper, one is for the liquid, or the other, you know, junk, we can say like garbages. So all these things, cleaning the streets, we have people who are day and night, they strive, they work hard in order to keep the city clean. And if we go somewhere where it is not clean, where there is garbage, we have a mentality that we have a psychology that immediately we think about those people to be the most, we can say like the lower class of the society. We think they are poor, they are needy, they even don't have money to clean their city or place or town where they live. And the backward area or the lower class, a very lower class in the society, when we imagine about them, we imagine with garbages, with the city or place without dustbin. So why is it so? It is because in the nature that this nature tells us that the one who beautifies himself, gives importance to himself, is the one who is not needy. And that's what Allah says, that Allah does not like the poor, like someone to become poor or be poor-like. So even we need to adorn ourselves in order to not to be in that category. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of adornment in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that even in our world around us, we see that we love to be living in a clean place. The societies love to have a clean place. The societies love to have a clean place to live in. And obviously, that's why we see that whenever there is a place where there is a garbage, we have this psychology that we think these places are poor places. And as we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, this is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah does not like the bu'us means the poverty. And taba'us means the one who looks like poor. So basically, those who have money, but they don't want to show, for example, like there might be different reasons. One of the reasons is the security reasons. So they should have the proper means of security. On the other hand, there are people who have money, but obviously they have the habit of look like poors who are needy. And this is not good because Islam forbids such things. We can see that at the time of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, when he was in Hajj, one of the companions, he came to Imam and he said that why you are wearing an expensive ihram, the cloth which we wear on the Hajj, the white cloth, two pieces of the cloth. Whereas your father, he said to Imam Zainul Abidin, whereas your father, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he never had this. And such a cloth, he never put on such a cloth, such an expensive. So Imam Zainul Abidin replied to him that at that time, because Islam was new and everyone was poor, therefore they have to live according to the standard of the people, standard of the society. And that's what was required by them. But today, since Muslims have a good income, they are not poor like that at that time, and everyone is in good condition, therefore you must put on good clothes. You must adorn yourself. And this is what Allah wants. So the society is also one of the criteria. Therefore, it is necessary to keep our homes clean, to keep ourselves clean, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In the United States, a report by the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, has found that the U.S. Missile Defense Agency has repeatedly failed to upgrade its radar and missile interceptor systems. The Government Accountability Office found that America's missile defense systems are in dire need of operational upgrades. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of Flipboard has covered this story and tells us more. A U.S. government agency has sounded the alarm about the dilapidated condition of its national missile systems, warning that the country is vulnerable to threats from foreign adversaries. The Government Accountability Office, the GAO, warned in a report published recently that the U.S. Missile Defense Agency has repeatedly failed to upgrade its radar and missile interceptor systems, leaving America with less capability than planned and vulnerable to missile threats from foreign adversaries. The U.S. government agency expressed fears that China, Iran, North Korea pose missile threats to the United States, despite the fact that Beijing and Tehran have never threatened to attack any country. Meanwhile, supply line issues and a development backlog were cited by the U.S. agency as the main factors preventing the Pentagon's top missile defense systems from receiving critical upgrades. The Government Accountability Office, the GAO, reported that in 2022 alone, the Missile Defense Agency had failed to achieve its goals on all of its planned interceptors and radar upgrades. It added, the Missile Defense Agency also didn't complete its planned flight, ground, or cyber tests for its systems. The Government Accountability Office reported that the Missile Defense Agency had been falling short of its goals for several years. It said 23 previously issued recommendations to the Missile Defense Agency had not yet been met, while testing, transparency and cost reporting were all faltering. The Missile Defense Agency only partially met its sensor delivery goals and has delayed operational acceptance of two radars until later this year at the earliest, according to the report. It noted that the operational delays cited by the Government Accountability Office in Missile Defense Agency, the agency responsible for safeguarding Americans against airstrikes, had been going on for years and indicated that the repeated cancellation and postponement of the planned programs at the agency had been done intentionally. The Government Accountability Office stated the Missile Defense Agency conducted less than half of its planned fiscal year 2022 testing, including flight and ground tests that demonstrates whether or not the nation's defense system can adequately fend off a potential missile barrage. It added, the Missile Defense Agency also intentionally reduced the scope of its cyber assessments and postponed other planned objectives for future years, setting America's missile defense systems even further behind its military rivals in other countries. In the meantime, the U.S. Defense Department, the Pentagon, has warned its rivals of forging ahead with their missile programs, with many of them achieving a twofold increase in the number of missiles in their arsenals capable of hitting the United States. Russia's TASS news agency has also reported on the same story. Russia says it has destroyed a U.S.-built Patriot missile defense system in an overnight barrage of missile and drone strikes on Ukraine's capital, Kiev. The Russian military said recently it destroyed the U.S. air defense system using a hypersonic Kinjal missile. The missile is capable of carrying conventional or nuclear warheads up to 2,000 kilometers. Last year, for the first time, Russia used the weapon in warfare in Ukraine. Also, two United States officials admitted a U.S.-made Patriot missile defense system being used by Ukrainian forces has likely suffered some damage from a Russian air attack, claiming it does not appear to have been destroyed. One U.S. official, speaking on condition of anonymity and citing initial information, said Washington and Kiev were already talking about the best way to repair the Patriot system and that, at this point, it did not appear the system would have to be removed from Ukraine. The official said the United States would have a better understanding of the damage in the coming days and information could change over time. The Patriot missile system is considered to be one of the most advanced U.S. air defense systems, including against aircraft as well as cruise and ballistic missiles. It typically includes launchers along with radar and other support vehicles. White House National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby claimed he could not confirm reports that a Patriot system had been damaged in Ukraine. John Kirby added, the United States military equipment sent to Ukraine is often damaged or worn out, and that it would depend on the scope of the damage as to whether or not it could be repaired by the Ukrainians or whether we might need to help them. Recently, Ukrainian military forces claimed success in shooting down 18 missiles, including six Kinjal missiles, which Russia had fired at targets in Kiev in what was said to be one of the most complex operations in the Ukrainian capital city, in terms of the number of missiles fired in a short space of time and launched from multiple directions. Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu dismissed the Ukrainian claims that six Kinjal missiles had been intercepted, saying that Moscow had not fired that many. Sergei Shoigu said the number of missiles Ukraine claims to intercept is three times greater than the number we launched. The NavyTimes.com website has also covered the same story. According to a Defense Department Inspector General audit released recently, the U.S. Army, Navy and Missile Defense Agency are failing to take basic cybersecurity steps to ensure that information on America's ballistic missile defense system won't fall into rival hands. Investigators visited 5 sites that manage ballistic missile defense elements and technical information, but the names of the commands were redacted in the publicly released report. The declassified report states the U.S. Army, Navy, and Missile Defense Agency did not protect networks and systems that process, store, and transmit missile defense technical information from unauthorized access and use. The report states such inadequacies may allow U.S. rivals to circumvent missile defense capabilities, leaving the United States vulnerable to potential missile attacks. According to the report, among the shortcomings, administrators for classified networks had no intrusion detection and prevention system in place to watch for cyber attacks, much less to stop them. Officials also failed to patch system flaws after receiving vulnerability alerts, one of which had first been identified back in 1990 and had still not been fixed. According to the report, another vulnerability that could be exploited by an attacker was first identified back in 2018, but also was never fixed.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ideal University Student brings change in thinking and reality of the society and world. The following is part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with university students and representatives of student associations in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniyah on April 18th, 2023.
The late Musa Kalantari related, I was sitting in the second or third row of the Friday prayer. Someone was sitting next to me, Mati Abbaspour, who was one of the ministers and was martyred later, was sitting in the front row. The person who was sitting next to me pointed to Mati Abbaspour and told me, look, the minister has come and is sitting in the lines for the group prayers. Look where we have gotten to. It was during the early days of the revolution. Martir Kalantari, who had a beautiful Turkish accent, turned to him and said, let me tell you something that's even stranger. I am one of the ministers too. They were good ministers. They were good managers. In the military field, we had people like Martir Hemmat, Martir Kharrazi, Martir Babai, Martir Hassan Baqiri, Martir Shirudi, Martir Ardestani and Martir Sayyad Shirazi. Of course, Sayyad was older when he was martyred, but he was at the age that I mentioned when he was fighting in the war. These men changed the reality of the war. They turned it into the strength of the Islamic Republic against all the allies of reactionism and arrogance.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In in the field of the arts and literature. There were Martir Murtaza Avini, the late Farajullah Salahshur, and the late Nadir Talibzadeh. Of course, they were older when they passed away, but they have done many things at a young age. And there are many others who were like them in the field of science and research. There were Martir Tehrani Muqaddam and the late Kazemi Ashtiani, Martir Majid Shahriari and Martir Rezai Nejad, and Martir Ahmadi Roshan. Our youth are these people. This chain has continued up until today. The contemporary period that you are in, there have been Martir Hujjati, Mustafa Sadrzadeh, Arman Ali Verdi and Ruhullah Ajamian. They are outstanding individuals. They truly are outstanding figures. There are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of young, responsible Iranians today. They are the driving force, they are the propelling force of the country and the government's movement, each in a different field. That is how each and every one of you should be.
That you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Lebanon has marked the 23rd anniversary of the liberation of South Lebanon from Israeli occupation. On this year's anniversary, Beirut was seen to a conference on the resistance front's fight against the world arrogance. The meeting, held by the Global Gathering in Support of the Choice of Resistance, was attended by guests from over 60 countries. The four-day congregation's theme is the resilience of the axis of resistance and its role in breaking the siege, ending sanctions, and overthrowing normalization.
This is more than necessary now to unite the people against this American-Israel aggression, because we have the same problem everywhere. You know this very good from the Middle East. I'm from Serbia. We know it as well from the Balkans. But now they start to attack the other European countries because they only use terrorism, like they kill General Soleimani.
Some participants said the liberation of southern Lebanon in 2000 and other victories for the resistance front in the last few decades are catalysts for a shift to a multipolar world.
Definitely, there's been a huge change in the world. First, because of the strength of the resistance in our region and the defeat of the American troops in Iraq, Afghanistan, in Lebanon, in Syria. This is now infecting the whole world in hope to escape American hegemony. So we see even this shift of multipolarity actually started because of the resistance in our region.
Western guests present at the conference believe there is growing awareness on the need for resistance against arrogant powers.
The awareness itself is shaped by resistance. So the actual victories in Palestine, in Syria, in Cuba, in Venezuela, these are the things that really shape people's consciousness. But we in the gathering here want to reinforce the values that people have a proper understanding of the importance of the centrality of resistance for human liberation.
An attendee said the resistance front is capable of putting an end to the Israeli regime's relentless atrocities against Palestinians.
Israel has become now a fascist regime. Israel has become a barbaric and a racist and a totalitarian regime. That is the only country in the world which has been supported by Western hegemony and also NATO. But their time, it is nearer, and the resistance and the people of the world, through the international solidarity movement, they will find ways to dismantle the Israeli apartheid regime.
The delegations will be taking a tour to villages in southern Lebanon. They will also pay an official visit to Syria to show solidarity with Damascus in the face of U.S. sanctions. Major transformations in recent years have caused more and more people to resonate with the values of resistance. Participants here consist of not only Lebanese and Palestinians, but people from around the world who are against the aggressive policies of Israel and the United States. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.